are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And we are in Dallas, Texas, baby, as we are live from Radio Row at SEC Football Media Days. Day two is here. We are halfway through. Had a couple of coaches and players go this morning, and the afternoon flight has taken off. And so we've got a bunch to recap from day two here today. Kirby Smart spoke this morning. Josh Heupel from Tennessee. Brent Venables just got done with both of his big room appearances as well. And then you also have Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri that is going later on today. Drinkwitz scheduled to be in the main room in about 25 minutes. So lots to recap on everything we've heard and seen so far today. It is a guest heavy show, ladies and gentlemen. You thought yesterday was busy. Today, we are doubling down, starting at 2:15. All right, we're going to have Roman Harper from the SEC Network. We'll sit down and have a conversation with us. Then, at 2:30, bottom of the hour, a new friend of mine, Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana, will join us to talk all things LSU and talk about how Auburn and LSU are no longer on each other's schedule. So, really excited to talk to him coming up at 2:30. Then, at 3 o'clock, a new friend of mine as well, Jay Smith, who is the host of the Locked On Sooners podcast, talking about Oklahoma. He'll be with us to talk about the Sooners, talk about Brent Venables, and of course, talk about the Auburn and Oklahoma matchup coming up in week five. And then it's Tuesday, so you know what that means at 3:15. Double D, Daryl Dapperts will be with us this time live right here on Radio Row. So really excited to have Daryl coming and sitting down with us at about 3:15, 3:20, give or take. So, guest-heavy show today. I told you it was going to be, and we're having a lot of fun here at SEC Media Days. Our coverage in Dallas this week is brought to you by all of our fantastic local sponsors, the Orthopedic Clinic, Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, State Farm Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddock, Wisdom Law Firm, and University Ace Hardware. Those local businesses are what made this all possible for us to make this trip, come out to Dallas for Dan and I to, yes, have a lot of fun, but work extremely hard to bring you the best content in Auburn and Opelika. 7 straight hours. You just heard Doug get done. I know he was wrapping up an interview there at the end, and so he has 3 great hours. We've got 2, and then Dan's got 2 as well. Nobody's doing it like we are in Auburn and Opelika, so we appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open for a couple of minutes. It's not going to be long today. 334-321-1390. The best way to get through to me today is to shoot me a text, 334-784-1067 in the On the Line text box. That's 334-784-1067. And I'll admit, I tried to get a couple coaches on today, but it just didn't happen. I tried to get Kirby. Wasn't able to get any time from him. He's a super busy guy bouncing around all the different rooms and other stations around here. And also tried to get Brent Venables on, but apparently they don't make time for him on Radio Row is what they told me. I don't know if I believe that or not, but they said they have an event coming up around here in Dallas that they have to go to after all their scheduled events. And so either way, we've got great guests here. And to recap day two so far, again, we're still waiting on Eli Drinkwitz, who's going to take the main stage in about 20 minutes. Heard from Kirby Smart this morning. And this is one that we've all been waiting for. We've all been in anticipation about Kirby Smart and what we were going to hear from him, right? Was somebody going to bring up the driving incidents? Was somebody going to ask about what Georgia is doing with those problems? And look, Doug said he was surprised. I'm not. Nobody asked him about it in the main room. Nobody said a word to Kirby Smart in the main media room, the one that's on national television, and nobody had the guts to ask him about the driving incidents in Athens. Well, We did in the electronic media room, and unfortunately, I was not able to be in the main media room for the most part. I was in. I was having some interviews scheduled and on doing radio hits and things like that. But I was able to get into the smaller electronic media room, and I was going to ask about it. I told you last week when this all started going down again, and we were really getting fired up on the show. I told you personally that I was going to ask about it if nobody else did. Well, there was a guy, I believe he was out of Montgomery, or Huntsville, I can't quite remember, but there was a guy that asked the question before I did, and he straight up asked it and said, look, you've got another two guys that just got in trouble with driving accidents. You're in double digits now over the past couple of years. What are you guys doing to fix it? And as he always does, as he always has, and as of this point people are letting him do it, Kirby Smart danced around it. He danced around the problem once again. He talked about the rules they have in place and the structures they have in place and the protocols that they have in place, and they bring people in to talk to the players and tell them that driving fast is bad and how their lives are at risk. But as Doug and I were talking in his last hour of his show, man, it's not working, right? It didn't work, and it's not working. And Kirby's word was disappointed. Yeah, I bet you are disappointed, and you should be. And I said you should be embarrassed if you are Georgia, but he didn't really go into a whole lot of detail after that. And so didn't get a whole lot from him, didn't expect that we would, but they did eventually ask him about it. Other than that, he didn't say a ton, didn't have a whole lot of things to say, did Kirby Smart. I did get a chance to listen to Josh Heupel from Tennessee, who is going into another big year for the Vols, and I think it's one for Tennessee that they have expectations, but I think it's not over-the-top expectations because there's so many other good teams around the SEC. I mean, nobody is expecting Tennessee to do a whole lot this season. They're just not. And maybe that plays into the benefit of Heupel and the Vols. I don't know. Because it's interesting with Tennessee and Oklahoma both here today. That's Oklahoma's SEC opener is hosting Tennessee in Norman. And we're going to talk to that. We're going to talk to Jay Smith about that coming up later on in the program from Locked On Sooners. I just don't know what to think about the Vols because, yeah, they've got a star-studded quarterback coming in, and I've bought into this before. I'm not going to allow it to happen again. Defensively, they've got to improve, and the schedule isn't terrible for Tennessee. I was able to ask Josh Heupel about the second-week road trip to NC State, which I think is really intriguing to me. I think it's fascinating. I think it is different. It's unique for sure. And look, Heupel gave a comical coach answer. He said, well, that'll be the most important game on our schedule that week, which, I mean, yeah, duh. But I like it. I like Tennessee taking that trip to NC State because nobody else is really doing that. There's not a whole lot of those types of games. I mean, you do have Texas taking a trip to Michigan to the Big House. It doesn't get a whole lot bigger than that. But so many of these games have become, or used to be anyway, neutral site. And you know, you've got Auburn who is welcoming in Cal and unfortunately just lost UCLA off the schedule and things like that. But I like seeing those types of matchups. I like Tennessee and NC State, Auburn and Baylor coming up in the next few years. I mean, just all those different matchups that you don't typically see, A, in conference play, but B, what you don't normally see in a weaker non-conference schedule, right? Nobody wants to watch Tennessee and go up and beat on UT Martin for four quarters or take out Chattanooga or whoever the heck they're playing. You know what I mean? Like, people want to see, the fans want to see real college football. And I think that's what Tennessee's doing with that game at NC State. The other two going on this afternoon, Brent Venables, as I mentioned, wrapped up all of his main media places just before we went live. And look, let me say this about old Brent Venables. He can talk now. He can talk. He will answer a question. And if you ask him, he will talk for 5 or 6 minutes per question. And so in the main room and in the electronic media room, he only got about 5 or 6 questions in the media because he answered them. And maybe a little long-winded, but not in a bad way by any means. He continues to go on, and you get that guy talking about defense, and he won't be quiet. He won't shut up about it because he's so smart and he's so passionate about defense at Oklahoma. And I think he believes in this Oklahoma team, and he didn't shy away from talking about the schedule that Oklahoma has. It's tough, man. It is. It's a tough schedule this year, probably second in the SEC behind Florida. And again, we're going to talk to Jay Smith of Locked On Sooners about that later on in the show. It's just difficult, man. And I don't know why Oklahoma got the bad draw and Texas got the cakewalk that they got. It's not fair, but guess what? Mom used to say fair is in August. And so he talked a lot about defense. Dan Peck from The Drive was able to ask about Oklahoma coming to Auburn because that's not their first SEC game, but that is Oklahoma's first SEC road game. And they've played games on the road in this conference, but not as a member of the SEC. And when you come in and you wear that low go and you're coming in as a conference opponent, right? This isn't the second game of the year where if you win it, it's great. If you lose it, you can probably overcome it. No, this game now between Auburn and Oklahoma has so much more attached to it, man. There are so many things riding on that Auburn and Oklahoma game, and I guarantee if you start asking Oklahoma people, they've got that game circled on their schedule. And I know that you do, Auburn fans. I know you do because I do too, and I've told you that I believe that Auburn has to win that game. If you want 2024 to be a success, if you're Hugh Freeze and this Auburn team in 2024, the Oklahoma game is a must. It's crucial. You have to get that done, and I've told you, Auburn fans, I think you should demand it. I think Auburn fans, you should demand a victory over Oklahoma, because my question to you is this. If Auburn can't beat Oklahoma at home, and I'm not sliding Oklahoma by any means, it's a really good team. They got a new quarterback. They're replacing all of their offensive line, okay? If Auburn can't beat that Oklahoma team at home in week five, how are you going to go on the road and compete with Georgia and Athens? How are you going to go on the road and compete with Missouri and Como? How are you going to allow Texas A&M to come in here and beat you up? How are you going to go on the road and compete with Alabama? You see where I'm going here? If you lose Oklahoma, you're more than likely going to lose those other ones just by easy math. I know not every game is the same, but you're picking up what I'm putting down here. Auburn's game against Oklahoma, I just think, will determine what the rest of the season looks like. I think it will be the one determining game that tells us, okay, this is going to be an 8-plus win season, or Auburn's going to be stretching and grinding and hustling to get to 7 wins. And that's not what we're looking for. So many people around here at Media Days this week have continued to slide Auburn and say, oh, Auburn, 7-5, they're going to be real happy with that. And I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. Just hearing from you, the Auburn fans back at Auburn and Opelika, I just don't know, man. I just don't think that most of you are going to be happy with 7-5. And if it is 7-5, it's got to be done the right way, right? It has to be against the correct teams, and they've got to be close, and they can't be blowouts. And look, I don't want to get into all of that. I don't want to have to worry about Auburn winning games the right way and losing with style. Like, I don't want the political crap from college football. I want Auburn to go into this thing and win 8 games this year, be flirting with 9 games. A miraculous season would be double digits because of how the schedule plays out. And so it all starts with the Oklahoma game. Well, it all starts with the first 4 games before Oklahoma, but that's what you're looking for. You go into that game 4-0. Oklahoma's got a little bit of a tougher start than Auburn, but I believe they'll be 4-0 as well. You have a real opportunity there on a national televised game, a game that has a chance to be top 25 in college football, and then you get to take a 5-0 record to Athens, Georgia. Are you going to win that game in Georgia? No, probably not, but I guarantee you feel a lot more confident in yourself if you're Hugh Freeze and this Auburn team, if you're 5-0 after just taking down Oklahoma when you go to Athens versus a last-second loss to Oklahoma or a beatdown against Oklahoma and embarrassment against Oklahoma, any of those things, right? What if, all right, let's play our favorite game here. What if Oklahoma comes in and does what Penn State did a few years ago. And I know that was Brian Harsin. That's a completely different era, and we hope to God that'll never happen again. But what if something like that happens? What if Oklahoma comes in and just shows us who's boss? Then we're in trouble. I think Auburn would be in a big predicament then, in terms of what the season could become. So that's why today was so important at SEC Media Days. And Brent Venables spoke very, very highly of Hugh Freeze, of the staff. He talked about Hugh Freeze as a person, how their families have hung out together on vacation at times. And you could tell that Brent Venables has a lot of respect for Hugh Freeze. And that's what this type of an event is about. You hear these types of questions and responses all the time here at SEC Football Media Days. Hey, Coach Venables, you're coming to Tennessee, or you're coming to LSU, or wherever the case may be, right? What do you think about our coach? How do you feel about our coach that we cover? And then you get their thoughts and their opinions on that. And so it's a very popular trend around here. And again, he had really good things to say about Auburn and Hugh Freeze. And he admitted he's not looking forward to the trip. He doesn't want to make that trip, and it's going to be a difficult one for the Sooners. And so I like that. I like a coach that is just honest. He said, look, nobody wants to go play that game. Nobody wants to take that trip to Auburn. That's not any fun. That's a tough place to play. And he kind of parlayed that with what Kirby Smart said earlier today in the electronic media room about any win on the road in the SEC is a good win. There are no bad wins on the road. And I tend to agree with that to an extent. I would be willing to argue that Auburn's win at Vanderbilt last year was not a good win. But a win is a win in the SEC, and they come very, very, very little, right? You just don't get many of them in the Southeastern Conference. So I was impressed by Brent Venables. The guy again. He can answer a question now. He'll answer it for about 5 or 6 minutes. And then the final coach going today is Eli Drinkwitz, who is stepping into the main media room any time now. I won't be able to obviously hear any of that, but I'm really intrigued to see and hear what he has to say, because out of the coaches going today, nobody's talking about Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri. Nobody's saying anything about them, which really blows my mind, because that's a team that's got playoff hopes this year. That's a team that's bringing back a top five quarterback in the SEC. Luther Burden, who is a Heisman candidate wide receiver. You're talking about a Missouri team that has the playoffs in their sights, and they have the SEC on their minds, the SEC title on their minds, and yet nobody around here is talking about it. So, big day at SEC Media Days 2. It is underway. We are getting into the afternoon slate. We've got all sorts of interviews and guests coming up for you here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. When we come back from break, Roman Harper from the SEC Network joins us. Stick around. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Excited to have SEC Network's Roman Harper sit down with us on the show. Welcome in, sir. Welcome to Dallas.
What's up, Jacob? How you doing, man?
Thanks. Doing good.
Thank you, man. Dallas a little hot, but it's good, man. It's talking season, and I got golf on my mind.
Well, there is a rumor that somebody or some people happened to see you walking through the hotel with some golf clubs. I don't know who that was, and I don't know if you actually went and played or not, but that is the word around here. I don't know.
Well, I guess their eyes are working, because I was. That was definitely me.
Well, hey, man, when you're working so much, you got to try to squeeze in 9 holes every now and then, right?
Hey, dude, I refuse to work that hard. All right, I worked very hard for a long time on my feet, and I'm not going back. So
hey,
it's all good.
Hey, I totally understand. Well, other than golf, there is a lot going on around here at SEC Media Days in 2024. Day one is in the books. Day two is upon us. Kirby Smart speaking today. It's a big day. Kirby Smart, Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri is here. I mean, it's a big, big day around day two at SEC Media Days.
Yes, Tennessee, Oklahoma as well. It should be really, really interesting. I want to hear from Brett Venables, his first SEC Media Days. I also want to see what shoes Drinkwitz is wearing. I'm also, I think Luther Burden III will be here. He is my early vote for best dressed player.
Okay.
Number one, because he's a wide receiver, and they always are like a look at me type person. That's what I want to see from a wide receiver, number one.
Sure.
I want him to be the man. I want him to feel like he's the man. I want him to showcase that, hey, I am the man. And so this is his first opportunity to put everybody else on notice that, no, I am the guy. So I want to see some chains. I want to see his outfit. He's my early vote for best dressed guy.
I mean, that is what everybody looks for, is shoes from the coaches and suits from the players.
Yeah, You're right. Look, man, I did this thing forever ago, many years ago, many moons ago, and I had my outfit laid out 2 weeks ahead, 3 weeks, and it was custom. I was down to the dimes, and yes,
I love it.
And so this is what it is. I didn't have money like they got now, but I was straight, and it was good. So this is what I look for. I look to the dress, and I want to see the personality of these players, and then of course talking to the coaches, who are going to give us a lot of coach talk. But always interesting to hear from them is what they're thinking or how they view their own teams
coming into the 2024 season. Is there a team that you have on your mind that maybe is not one of the favorites, like a Georgia or a Texas, but a team or a coach that you just feel is going to really surprise people this year? Do you have anybody like that in mind right now?
No, I don't. And it's well, yes, but no.
Okay.
I would say yes, because it's always a team who's maybe out there who may win more games than what the experts say they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but this year specifically for me, I feel like it's a lot of the haves and the have-nots.
Okay.
The haves are about five or six teams that are out there that have a chance to go to the playoffs or make a run at something. Then it's everybody else who's not. And so I got Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Missouri. All right. A possible is with LSU, because I just don't know.
Right.
I think they're going to take a step back offensively, defensively. Can they be good enough to try and be better? This, you know, they were atrocious last year. Can you just
That's a word for it.
Yeah, can you just get to the 50s? You know what I mean? Like, if you can be ranked 50-something, you got a chance. Because they were like 113th last year.
It was a race to 50, basically.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of questioning. They've made some changes, but it'll be interesting to see. Those are my five to six that are like the haves. Then it's everybody else after that. And, you know, you're going to have to struggle. And it's a lot of have to do with the scheduling and determining factors. And, like, you know, I look at Auburn. 8 wins, in my opinion, is a good year. I don't know if Auburn feels that way, but I think 8 wins is a good year. I look at Oklahoma. 9 wins, I think, is an excellent year for what the schedule have, because
Oklahoma's brutal.
The Oklahoma schedules, they have to play. They will be the determining factor of everything that goes down next year in the SEC.
Wow.
Your record versus Oklahoma will determine your success rate in this conference next year.
I like
because
it.
They play everybody that matters or has something to do with something. They got Alabama. They got Texas. They got, you know, they play a lot of the teams. LSU, I believe, as well. So it's all going to come down to your record versus Oklahoma, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it's going to be a lot of different matchups that we haven't seen in the last couple of years.
Roman Harper from SEC Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7 out of Auburn and Opelika. You brought up Auburn. You talk about 8 wins. That's where a lot of fans seem to be. That would be a good year,
yes,
right, from last year. But, yeah, kind of talk a little bit about Auburn and what you're seeing and what you expect in year two under Hugh Freeze.
So I think Hugh Freeze is going to do a little bit more of the offensive stuff. When, you know, I think whatever suits him, sometimes you got to go out there and do that. And so for me, I think they lack some things up front on the defensive end. But offensively, that's where I want to start at. And that is that they remind me of when I was in school, when all of a sudden Auburn was just a run team, and then they brought in these receivers. They had a couple classes where it was like Anthony Mix, Ben Abumanu, Arama Shadu. You had Courtney Taylor. Like, all these guys just showed up on campus in a matter of 2 years. And next thing you know, Auburn was lights out. It was like,
right,
you know what I mean? They were all freshmen, sophomores, just balling out of control.
Yep.
And Auburn went from one-dimensional to, like, everything's open. And I think that is what they're starting to try and build. This is what it reminds me of. You bring in this Cam guy. You got a couple other guys rolling in, these true freshmen that are going to come on campus. These guys are playing.
Oh, yeah.
These guys are going to play. And they're going to make
animals,
it.
Man.
Yeah, and they're going to make a fast impact on the SEC to let everybody know, no, hey, we're here. And it's going to take a year or two. But I think as Hugh Freeze gets all this roster where he wants it, because the facilities are stupendous.
You've been there.
I have been there. I just walked through it last year. It's absolutely gorgeous. So they're second to none. So they got all the things they need to do now. Now they just got to go and get the players that they need to go out there and compete on a week-to-week basis. And they're a little bit behind, but they're going to be there.
Roman Harper from SEC Network, man, always a pleasure to catch up with you and have you on the show. It's a great week at SEC Media Days, and we'll see you around. You'll be on all sorts of coverage on the SEC
Network.
Man,
appreciate it, man. Shout out to everybody back in Opelika and Auburn, man. Everybody knows I'm from Prattville. and I did stop at the Buc-ee's. That place packed. Yes. People can't get enough of Buc-ee's.
That's right.
Right now.
Buc-ee's is great, man. Buc-ee's is great. Roman Harper from SEC Network. So that was Roman Harper sitting down with me earlier today. Always a pleasure catching up with him. He's a blast and a big fan of Buc-ee's apparently there right off the interstate in Auburn. Appreciate him stopping by the table. We'll take our bottom of the hour break, come back, and got more guests coming up. Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana joins me after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins with you live on Radio Row in Dallas, Texas at SEC Football Media Days. Our coverage here in Dallas, Texas is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, State Farm Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddock, Wisdom Law Firm, and University Ace Hardware. So we appreciate those sponsors back in Auburn, Opelika for making this trip possible to SEC Media Days. We just talked with Roman Harper from the SEC Network, and now welcoming in a new guest of the show and a new friend of mine, Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana. Man, welcome to the program. Welcome to a fellow ESPN affiliate, my man. It's great to have you on.
I appreciate you making the time for me, bud, and us to be able to get together here, talk SEC football. You know, in case you didn't realize, it just means more.
I think that's what they say. I think so.
It just the huge banners. I just love it. It gets bigger and bigger every year with the slogans and everything like that. It is. I try to tell people this all the time. If you haven't been here, and this is my fourth media days for the SEC, if you haven't taken part in it, if you haven't experienced it, you need to, because yeah. It is something completely different. I covered it when it was in Hoover. And Atlanta, Nashville, now here in Dallas, and obviously we'll be back in Atlanta next year. That's what Greg Sankey told us on Monday. But it is amazing. It's enthralling. It's chaotic. And kind of wonderful.
Well, we are 46 days away from that first Saturday of August 31st, which means we're even closer than that to college football getting underway with week zero, the expanded week one. I mean, we are right there around the corner to the start of college football. And you were talking about some of the slogans. I like what the SEC did. They're not 14 deep. They're now 16 strong. And that's, of course, with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma. The Sooners are a team that's here today. Did you get a chance to listen to Brent Venables at all, to what he had to say?
I like Brent a lot. He's kind of salt of the earth, right? And you kind of expect that with defensive-minded guys, yeah. And that's his background. I said this earlier on my show. I believe that Texas will have the most success short-term. Mm-hmm. This year, maybe next year. I really am a believer in Venables. I know it was a rough transition because he was rebuilding the culture, and he was rebuilding the team in his likeness, right? This team is probably going to be led by its defense this year. It has a guy that's going to be a candidate for the Dick Butkus Award, mm-hmm. Lining up at linebacker. Offensively, they're going to have some question marks, but it's a transition to go from that up-tempo offense that Lincoln Riley had to now being a defensive-minded team. I think Oklahoma, the schedule doesn't help them, but let's be honest. There's a few teams that have schedules that are somewhat favorable, but this is the first time in the history that there's 16 teams, and really with the exception of Vandy, no disrespect to the Commodores, but it's not as if Texas and Oklahoma are Vanderbilt coming into the conference, right? So you're talking about two of the most tradition-rich programs. I think Oklahoma may take its lumps a little bit this year, but I think the Sooners will make that transition into the SEC. And I'm really high on their coach. He's a defensive-minded guy. I like what he had to say on the podium. Offensive line's going to be an issue.
Yes.
And they know that, and they got a young quarterback, that as well. So you're going to have some growing pains. But it's one of those things where I look at Oklahoma and I go, I'm really going to like them in 2025.
I wonder if, and I just kind of thought about this, I wonder when we are looking at that Oklahoma schedule, and everybody's got the same opinion. It's hard. Like, it's probably a top two schedule in the SEC behind Florida. Do you think that we are saying it's hard because we're comparing what they used to play in the Big 12, or just the fact that it's just a hard SEC schedule?
My notion of about their scheduling before I got here for SEC Media Days is slightly different than it is now.
Okay. How so?
Because it started to hit me, my team and I, when we were driving up from Lafayette on Sunday, we were going through Athlon and Phil Steele and all the preseason guides, and we were going through the schedules, and we were talking about every team, you know, kind of good way of kind of killing time on the drive up.
Sure.
And you started realizing, going, there's not a team in the conference that has a clear-cut path to be undefeated. So in that regard, the schedule is going to be tough for everyone.
Yeah.
And every year we do this, right? Every year we do this and we go, well, this team, and we all vote, you'll vote, I'll vote on, you know, the predicted order of finish and all these things. And we have these preconceived notions of how these teams are going to do. And every year we're surprised. Like last year, the big surprise was Mizzou.
Yeah.
No one thought Missouri was going to have the season that they had. Okay, now all the expectations are through the roof for Mizzou. Can they be a college football playoff team?
Right.
Okay. Well, remember last year, the expectations were through the roof for South Carolina because how they finished the prior season with Spencer Rattler, and they beat Clemson for the first time in a long time, and then they beat Tennessee, even though Hooker was injured and, you know, in the bowl game, and everyone's like all high on South Carolina, and then they end up winning five games. So,
right.
You know, we like to think we know what's going to happen. Injuries always play a role, but look, you're going to have some contenders that are going to be 3-4 losses this year because we now are going to be in a conference with 16 teams and two bye weeks. It's going to be brutal for everyone. But don't forget, Oklahoma beat Texas last year, right?
Yes.
In the Red River, I still call it the Red River Shootout because I'm old, Red River Rivalry game at the old Cotton Bowl.
We won't judge.
Thank you. I also still call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party as well. But don't forget that. Like, Texas had a great year last year, right? And they made the playoff. They still lost to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I think it's going to be tougher for everyone. Texas does have a favorable schedule. Ole Miss has a favorable schedule. Georgia has a somewhat favorable schedule as well. But I wouldn't be surprised that we see four teams make the playoff out of the SEC. And it wouldn't surprise me if all four of them all had at least one loss, if a couple of them had two. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, I think that gets into the conversation that a lot of people have been having this week, including us here on ESPN 106.7, is, okay, we understand that a 10-win SEC team has a good chance to get in, but can a 9-win SEC team get in? That's where we really start bringing in these conversations. And again, I was having this a little bit before you sat down. It's all about how you do it, how it
Correct.
Looks, all of that type of stuff that – it's impossible to talk about in the second week of July, but the SEC's in a really good spot with this expanded college football playoff.
When I look at it, look, I think Georgia's the clear-cut best team in the conference.
Right.
And you and I were talking about this last night down in the hotel lobby is, you know, I expect Georgia to be angry. I expect Georgia to have something to prove to not only the SEC but the entire country. Like, I really feel that way. It feels a lot like some of those Saban teams at Alabama where you're like, this is going to be one of those years. Like, they're fuming a little bit. That said, then I think it's Texas and Ole Miss that are there. But for me, you look at it, I could see Alabama. I could see LSU. I could see and a couple of other different teams that could be in the mix around there, around that 9-win mark. And you're right. It all depends on how you finish. Like, Ole Miss has to play Georgia. If they lose by three touchdowns to Georgia, that's not really going to keep them out of the playoff because they'll still end up more than likely being a 10-win team. Right? And they're going to start off preseason top 10, which don't get me into a rant about preseason polls because I think they're foolish. But
you're not alone.
It just you got. I think you should always wait after 4 weeks and see where teams kind of how the dust settles a little bit. That said, yeah, they're in a great position. The Pac-12 is not going to be a factor, or the Pac-2 or whatever they're calling themselves.
Pac-2. I think they had a media days for that.
They did. They found a room in Vegas to rent out, and they had the mascots out on stage. I saw it.
That's incredible. I heard there was an open bar, so they knew what they were doing.
You know, the Big Ten, you look at them, Ohio State, Oregon, probably your cream of the crop there. Michigan's got a lot to replace. Maybe Whiskey, if they can, especially if they beat Alabama, that could help propel them.
Gosh, what a game that could be.
That's going to be a huge game there at Camp Randall. But you think about it, you go, okay, there looks like maybe two, three teams out of the Big Ten, four out of the SEC, maybe a couple out of the ACC, and a couple out of the Big 12. Like, the SEC's got himself in prime in a prime position here with the amount of talent that they have this year.
Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana joining us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. Want to talk a little bit about LSU, but before we do that, tell us a little bit about you and your show and what you guys are doing down there in Louisiana on the ESPN affiliate. I know it's home of LSU. I believe you guys have the Astros on your stations as well. So tell us a little bit what you guys got going on.
Apparently, roughly about 6 years ago, they were so desperate that they decided to hire a Mobile, Alabama native to run their sports talk station. So that's first and foremost. For us, we have live and local programming from 7 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. So we have live and local all throughout the day. I've been there. I'm a former longtime newspaper sports journalist. Nearly 20 years, and then made the transition back into radio, kind of fell back into it, love it. And I used to host a morning show from 6 to 9, which was...
I'm so sorry, man.
Oh, it was absolutely brutal.
Morning radio is not my thing. I've tried it. I can't. I can do a fill-in here and there, but I can't get myself to wake up that early.
For years, it was the first hour was me still waking up. And then being,
that,
you know,
sounds about right.
Then
yeah,
being ready to go from 7 until 9. So it was, we're the LSU affiliate for both Lafayette and Lake Charles. We're also the Houston Astros affiliate for both of those. So, we talk a lot of LSU. We talk a lot of Saints. We talk a lot of SEC. We talk a lot of Sun Belt with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, you know.
And okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
we're right there as well. And we talk McNeese Cowboys as well. So we cover three different conferences, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. People always talk about the summertime is a time where you don't have anything to talk about. And I just disagree because we live in a world now with sports where it's 24/7.
Yep.
And it's constantly. And there's constantly stuff happening for us to talk about. It never stops. I mean, we have media days, and then there'll be more media days next week, and then we got training camp, and there's always something to talk about, man.
Right. Well, it's funny because I was talking with Trey Wallace from Outkick about that very topic last night. It's like, yeah, June, early July used to be the true, right, off season, and you had a little downtime, but not anymore.
You take your vacation. Now, don't get me wrong. I took my vacation.
Yeah.
We took a family vacation and squeezed that in, but yeah, there's tons to talk about because we just live in a news cycle now that's 24/7.
Well, you guys are the home of LSU in that area. You air the LSU broadcast, and I do want to talk a little bit about the Tigers, and it's unfortunate because Auburn and LSU are no longer playing. They're not on the schedule for each other this year. First time in a long time, and I was telling you before we went on the air, it seems like with Auburn fans, the older school fans are not as upset as the younger school fans like myself in the past 30 years or so. That really seems to be when Auburn LSU cranked it up and got that rivalry to what it was. And look, I'm sad that it's gone, and I think LSU people feel the same way.
I think it was a mistake by the SEC. And look, it's difficult because you're adding two teams and trying to figure out the schedule. For the longest time, the conference is trying to force a rivalry between LSU and Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it for the longest time. They created one of the most hideous trophies you've ever seen, the Battle for the Golden Boot.
And
it's awful. And it just never took. There's been some exciting games. I think back of the Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, yeah, Peyton Hillis backfield that year that LSU still ended up winning the national title despite losing to Arkansas on Thanksgiving, or Black Friday, rather. They've had some interesting games, right? But that was a rivalry that was forced. And it never really took off, right? The same thing's happening with Texas A&M. They're trying really hard, and they did before the expansion, to make A&M and LSU a thing. And Jimbo having the connection, there was some heat there, and there was the 7 overtime game and everything like that. So there were some moments. Auburn-LSU was natural.
Very.
And it was a naturally surreal series,
yeah,
right, where you had the earthquake game, you had the game where the building catches on fire and they keep playing on it with DiNardo.
Yeah.
You had that. You had all the games that were decided by field goals in the wind that seemed like it happened forever under Les Miles.
Yeah.
When he was the head coach of LSU.
The one I always go back to is when the ball was snapped, but the clocks hit zero, right?
Yeah.
The clocks were on zero. LSU snapped the ball. They throw a touchdown. They thought they win the game, and then they go back and review it, and it
correct,
turns out Auburn wins. Like, those are miraculous games. games in the series.
The weirdest things would happen when LSU and Auburn would play each other.
No doubt about it.
And it made it for one. It was always one of those ones that I would make sure to go to Tiger Stadium to cover or make sure to tune in because you never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, part of that's because you had some characters as coaches and they made some decisions on both sides of the field.
That's also true.
But to not have that, like I think if you polled a bunch of LSU fans, if they were talking about it, like, hey, you have to make a choice. You play Arkansas, you play Auburn. I think they're going to choose to play Auburn every day. Like, and maybe, you know, Auburn's probably going to be better than Arkansas this year and be more competitive game. But it meant something. Like, right. Auburn LSU was unique. It was, in my opinion, the most under the radar great rivalry in the SEC. And we don't get it.
Well, you look back at just the history of the winner of that game and what they go on to do a lot of times. I mean, they control the outcome of what happened in the SEC West. Of course, that doesn't exist anymore. But, I mean, time after time, the winner of Auburn-LSU typically went on to do something really special at the end of that
yes.
year. And so I hate that it's not going to happen. And so Auburn fans won't get to see LSU play against Auburn. But what do Auburn fans need to know about this LSU team? Because I think they're a sleeping giant in the SEC this season because of how good Brian Kelly as a head coach is.
Brian Kelly is a solid, straightforward, really good coach,
yeah.
right? And the knock is going to be on him. Well, he hasn't won a national title yet. Well, look, to take Notre Dame in the modern era to play for national titles when you have the things that hamper them in recruiting, and particularly the academics, and look, it's a struggle to get the people to come to South Bend in the modern era, right? He's won everywhere he's at. They may have the best offensive line in the country.
Like, okay.
I Will Campbell is a top 10 draft pick at tackle.
Yeah.
All right. He's the best tackle in the country. They returned 4 or 5 starters across the offensive line. That looks like a Joe Moore finalist to me this year. You know, BK, he likes to do platoon running backs, right? There's never going to be one guy that's the feature guy. There's going to be 3 to 4 guys that he can utilize. Someone gets injured, not a problem. They're going to be able to run the football. They're going to be able to block. The question that I have offensively is, I have faith in Garrett Nussmeier. The kid has a cannon of an arm.
Mm-hmm.
He also has complete faith in his arm. That's a good thing. It's also can be a dangerous thing when he's going to be inclined to throw into double coverage.
Take some risks, yeah.
Right? He's going to take risks. Jaden didn't take risks. Jaden was very smart. Have that ability.
Right.
So it's going to be 2 different types of quarterbacks. But I think Nuss being in the system, Kelly trusts him. It's his team. We saw what he was able to do in the bowl game against Whiskey is going to be a big deal, right? I don't think they're going to average 45 points a game again. Right?
Sure.
You lose the Heisman Trophy winner. You lose 2 first-round draft picks at wide receiver.
There's going to be a drop-off, yeah.
There's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. But they do have guys. They get a Mississippi State transfer to come in. They get the Liberty transfer to come in. You have Chris Hilton, who is a speedster. He's like a track star out there. He can never stay healthy.
Right.
If he's healthy, that gives you that deep vertical threat this year. Anderson, who came over from Alabama, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He couldn't get onto the field. He was nicked up. Plus, he just wasn't very good. So Kyron Lacy is going to be your old man of the group. He's the former Louisiana Raging Cajun. He's now transitioned. So he made some spectacular plays in the spring. I think they're going to be fine offensively. Maybe they don't have that stud number one first-round draft pick wide receiver, but Mason Taylor is a beast, and he's healthy. See a lot of him. He's going to be probably first team all tight end. The question mark still is defense. You bring in Baker. You poach him from Mizzou. To be your DC. You poach Bo Davis away from Texas.
What a great hire.
Amazing hire. You bring him in to fix your D-line, and he gets to come back home to LSU. And then you bring back the godfather of DBU, Corey Raymond, to come back as well. You get him away from Florida because things didn't work out there. If they would have been 10% better last year, they're in the playoff. Like, that's what held them back from being able to achieve their goals. And Brian Kelly talked about it. You heard him on Monday.
Yep.
He discussed that. They got to get better. I worry about if they have the actual athletes on the D-line to take that next step, because they don't have, like, the Tyson Jacksons, Glenn Dorseys. They don't have those guys.
Yeah.
Right? Now, so they need to be able to develop that group quick. the DBs will get helped if your D-line is better, right? The question mark's Harold Perkins. We saw him as a freshman be a phenom. You dropped him in, he was like a tornado, just destroying, right, yes. pass rushing. And then they move him to inside linebacker last year, and he's undersized.
It was confusing.
And he didn't do anything. Like, he wasn't an impact player. They say, well, he's bulked up. Okay, he's not built like Devin White. He's not built like Brady James. All right, he's just not. How are you going to be able to utilize him? If they can fix the D-line, that will let Perk have the time to go sideline to sideline and be able to be a disruptive force. That's what's going to keep them from either being a playoff team or not being a playoff team. Because like I told you before, I like Georgia, I like Ole Miss, I like Texas to make the playoff. I think a fourth team from the SEC can make it, and I think LSU is in a logjam with like LSU, Alabama, maybe Oklahoma if they can figure some things out. It maybe Tennessee, young quarterback there, obviously. So we'll see. We'll see. I think they're going to have the potential, but can the defense take that step that they need to be better?
We'll see what LSU can do this season. Unfortunately, Auburn and LSU will not match up on the field, but Auburn fans will keep up with the Tigers. There's no doubt about it. Raymond Parton from ESPN Southwest Louisiana. This was fantastic, man. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great to meet you, my man, and have you on the show, and we'll definitely be in touch throughout the rest of the season. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up hour number one, and get into hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you missed a good one. Let me tell you, we had great stuff going on in that first hour. We recapped a busy day two. It's still going on a little bit, but we talked about Kirby Smart, Brent Venables. We also talked about Josh Heupel a little bit, as they all spoke, and I believe Eli Drinkwitz just got done in the main room. So a busy day here at SEC Media Days in Dallas, Texas. We also had Roman Harper from the SEC Network sit down and join us for a few minutes, and a good friend of mine that I met this week and have really grown a liking to, and a guy that's really, really knowledgeable, Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana, just sat down with us talking all things LSU. So that's all in hour number one. You can go and catch that on the podcast later on today, ESPNAU.com. Ben Taylor back in the ESPN 106.7 studio. We'll get that uploaded for you, so you can check that out later on today. Hour number two, each and every day during On the Line, 3 to 4 p.m. on ESPN 106.7, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Here in hour number two, we're about to have an interview with Jay Smith, who is the host of the co-host of Locked On Sooners, the daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast. And then Double D, Daryl Dappert, sitting down with us coming up a little bit later. But here's my conversation with Jay Smith, co-host of Locked On Sooners. Jacob Goins back here with you live at SEC Media Days 2024 in Dallas, Texas. We're sitting here on Radio Row. This is ESPN 106.7 out of Auburn and Opelika. And happy to welcome a guy in, somebody that I've met here at SEC Media Days, become quick friends with this guy, and he is growing in the podcast world. Jay Smith, co-host of Locked On Sooners. Welcome to Dallas, my friend, and welcome to the SEC for you and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you for having us here at the SEC. I mean, Dallas is like home for us, right? As a Sooner fan, we kind of own the northern part of Texas, especially with that Red River. We play at the Cotton Bowl every year. So, you know, this is home away from home for us.
Yeah, well, you're an OKC guy, and you're here in Dallas, and you've been a part of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Not very long, but you're a big Oklahoma guy, right? You're born and raised Oklahoma Sooners.
Exactly, yeah, and I've had my own podcast or whatnot, and my own YouTube channel as well. So I've been talking Sooners for about 4 or 5 years, and we're happy happy to be in the SEC in the Premier League, and we're ready to play against some of these big boy teams in these big boy stadiums.
Well, Oklahoma will be making the trip to Auburn in week five, and Auburn fans fully expect the Tigers to be 4-0 going into that game. Maybe Oklahoma feels the same way about their program, but before we talk about that game and what the rest of the season is going to be like, give some of our Auburn listeners some insight on what they can expect to see from this Oklahoma team compared to a year ago coming into this year. Give us a little insight here on Oklahoma Day.
Well, the good thing is with Oklahoma, Brent Venables coming in, making his valiant return. So for a lot of those that don't know, Venables was the defensive coordinator here at Oklahoma back in the 1999-2000 season. When we won the national championship, he came with Bob Stoops from Kansas State. He's only actually had three schools that he's coached for in his entire career. Played at Kansas State, coached at Kansas State, came to Oklahoma, was here to about 2013, left and went to Clemson, won two national championships, played for a third, and then made his return back as the head coach. And so what Venables wants to instill and what he wants people to recognize about Oklahoma is how physical we are, right? He wants this team to play like an SEC-type team. When he was at Clemson, the main thing that their focus was in recruiting as well as coaching was, sure, we're going to win our conference. If we win our conference and we play a team in the SEC, we want to win a national championship. Granted, they were able to do it. Now, of course, you still got some generational quarterbacks to go with that, but at the same time, they were able to upend Alabama in some of those big games in those two national championships that they won. So that's the thing to expect from Oklahoma. It's going to be physical. The guys are bigger. The guys are stronger. And we brought back Jerry Schmidt, who is the strength coach. He was actually at Texas A&M after he left Oklahoma.
Okay.
When Lincoln Riley came in, Schmidt went over to Texas A&M. Was part of that, you know, Miles Garrett, ginormous human being regime. And then they brought him back immediately when Brent Venables got the job. He said, nope, we need you here because you know how to build guys ready for the SEC, since he was there for a few years and was a part of those powerhouse teams in Oklahoma.
I'll say this about Brent Venables. He's a guy that when he was at Clemson and even Oklahoma way back in the day, everybody knows he's defensive-minded. He's a defensive guy. He's been one of the best in college football for a couple of decades now. And I'll be honest with you, my question was, okay, he's a defensive guy, but can he be a successful head coach? That was the big question, especially at a place like Oklahoma. But I think one thing that was going to give him an advantage was, all right, he's going into the Big 12, a conference that may not be as known for its defense. And I think it worked out for him early on, but now he's coming to the SEC. And so, yeah, Brent Venables and the contract extension, were you expecting that, or was that kind of out of left field for him there at Oklahoma?
No, I was expecting it, and it makes sense. It puts Venables pay-wise right around the 8 range in the conference. So it's not like they made him the highest paid guy in the SEC, right?
But in the upper half.
Sure. And they recognize that he is leading the team in the direction that they want. So they said, you know what? We need to make sure we take care of you today, because tomorrow you're going to need to take care of us, right? It's just a what have you done for me today league and sport. And so for him, that was what the athletic director was thinking in that situation. Let's take care of the guy, because he's also building the culture that they've been wanting back at Oklahoma. We're trying to get back to that 02, 03, 04 era where we were so physical and everyone was like, yeah, we don't want to play against Oklahoma, even in the Big 12.
Right.
But you're right. The Big 12 has gone so offense heavy, right? And so Venables now has had to rechange some of the thinking with some of the players and the types of players they recruit. And we're seeing that now as he's maintaining top 10 classes every single year since he's been here.
Are Oklahoma fans going to miss the Big 12? Are you going to miss the Big 12, Jay? I mean, is it a conference that you're going to be sad to be leaving and coming to the SEC? I mean, look, the Big 12, it's one of the most respected conferences in college football, but it seems to be in that third place spot behind the Big Ten and behind the SEC. So are you going to miss, and are Oklahoma fans going to miss competing in the Big 12?
The Oklahoma fans are going to miss the ability to drive to road games, but that's really about it, if you want me to be honest, right?
Yeah.
The Big 12 has not done us any favors over the last few years. It's funny because a number came out when we were in the last 2 years, when it was known that we were coming to the SEC, between Oklahoma and Texas, there were maybe 4 holding calls called in our favor the entire season.
Wow.
Over like each year.
Yeah.
And so about 8 total over a 2-year span, which is kind of of ridiculous if you really think about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it seems a little outlandish.
So OU fans love the fact that we're not going to be dealing with Big 12 officials anymore. They love the fact we're going to a conference where officiating is taken a little bit more seriously. But at the same time, we're going to complain. We're fans, right?
Hey, at least we're all on
we're
the same
realistic.
Page.
We're
Believe
realistic.
Me, Auburn fans would totally disagree. They're yelling at you through the radio right now because SEC officiating, while it's been good, it has its flaws too. But everybody feels that way when it comes to officials. So.
I feel like it's tier one in comparison to like the Big 12 as well as the ACC. As an ACC fan, they'll tell you the same thing.
It's you're right about that.
Pretty ridiculous.
Well, tell us a little bit about this Oklahoma team in particular. Got a few guys here today for Oklahoma Day. And so give us some insight on what the offense is going to look like and defensively as well for Brent Venables.
Yeah, so on the offensive side of the ball, we'll start there. We return about 40-something, 44% of our production offensively, right? But the key thing with there is it's mainly the main reason why we're only bringing back less than 50% is our offensive line is gone, right? We had two tackles gone in the NFL draft, all five of the starting line. Our left tackle and our right tackle got drafted. One got drafted first round to the Dallas Cowboys, and then Walter Rouse got drafted to the Indianapolis Colts. So you got your left and right tackle drafted. It's the second year in a row this offensive line coach has done that.
That's impressive.
Back-to-back left and right tackles drafted in NFL draft, and one of them going in the first round. Bill Beatenbow is the man. And then, of course, we got a new quarterback. Dylan Gabriel transferred to Oregon because he said himself, Jackson Arnold's it. It's his team, and we're going to pass the baton on. But the good thing for Jackson Arnold at quarterback, being he's a true sophomore, he's only started two games total in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's got skills positions returning. He's got all his wide receivers are back. You know, Jaleel Farouk's coming back for a super senior year. He's basically returning over 3,000 yards of production at the wide receiver spot. Then you also got your running backs that have returned in Gavin Salchuk, Javonte Barnes, and we've got a lot of young players there. And the good thing is that, and this is the reason why Sooner fans are a little bit bullish on the offensive line and aren't as stressed out as most, because that is everybody's concern for Oklahoma. What the heck this offensive line looks like? Well, Bill Beatenbow's been there since like 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been a consistent piece on the offensive line of coaching. He has a Joe Moore Award winning line while at Oklahoma. And because of that, we know that he's finding the dudes it's going to fit the exact type of game he wants to play. And so because of that, Sooner fans aren't as stressed out as most when it comes to the line. Defense-wise, we're bringing back 86% of our defensive production.
Oh, man.
So these guys are in their third year of a Brent Venables scheme and defense, right?
They're going to be eating out there, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Venables hired a new defensive coordinator named Zach Alley, young guy out of Jacksonville State. Now, this is the thing about him. He was an assistant at Clemson for Brent Venables for like 8 years.
How about that?
He's literally a clone. If you ask a player about him, they're going to tell you he will address the crowd, and if unless you're looking at him, you'll think it's Brent Venables. Similar raspiness to the voice is getting there.
Okay.
It feels like the same guy. So it's pretty fascinating that he's coming in, but he runs the same defense. He's run the same principles as Brent Venables.
Yeah.
And so you're bringing back a lot of seniors. Billy Bowman, one of the top safeties in the league. He had three interceptions, returned for a touchdown, six total, was one of the top five in the country, right? You got Danny Stutzman's one of the top tacklers in college football last year. Woody Washington, he was one of the best defenders in the cornerback position. And so you're bringing all of that experience back to a unit that's considered, linebacker-wise and secondary-wise, Phil Steele labeled them the top. They were both ranked number two in the country for units. So because of that, everything in the focus on this team is defense.
Absolutely.
Keep your mind on the defense. The offense is going to do its part, but the defense is the focus.
We're talking with Jay Smith, co-host of the Locked On Sooners podcast here on ESPN 106.7 for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Let's dive into the schedule for just a second. Opening up with Temple at home. Then they welcome in Houston week two out of the Big 12. That's no longer a group of five team. That's now a Power 4 team that'll be coming to Norman. And for whatever reason, you guys decided to welcome in the Green Wave and Tulane into Oklahoma. At least you're not going down there because people haven't learned that yet. But, man, does that not scare you to have Houston and Tulane back-to-back games that Oklahoma, yes, should win, but that's a lot more stress than what you're wanting for and looking for in the first couple of weeks of the year.
Well, that's why we're considered to have one of the toughest schedules in college football.
Ain't
we're
no
second
doubt.
Behind Florida and the toughest in the SEC.
Ain't no doubt.
Nationwide, we're considered top five in toughness. And so be honest, no. The good thing for us us in this regard is Houston's got a new coach. Tulane's old head coach. That's their new coach. And then Tulane has a new head coach, right? We were supposed to play the Green Wave in Tulane like 2-3 years ago. And unfortunately, there was a storm down there, messed up things.
Gotcha.
So they moved the game to Norman. We painted the field Green Wave. It looked like it was a home game for them as far as the field aesthetics goes. It was pretty classy set up for us, and to me, that we did for them. And so we're not too concerned. I mean, of course, they're going to play us hard. But the good thing is both of them are now in their rebuild.
Sure.
And so because of that, hopefully we take advantage of that. And that leads us right into the Tennessee game, which is the first SEC game in conference. Because we've had Tennessee in Oklahoma back in 2016. We played them actually in a home-and-home series. We won in Neyland. We brought them to Norman. We won in Norman. And so – but the best part about that is bringing back former OU quarterback Josh Heupel, who's the head coach.
Yeah.
He was the one that won the national championship in 2000.
Yeah.
So it's his first time back since he was fired as offensive coordinator in 2014. So we're bringing him back into town, and it's going to be an exciting time, right? We're excited about, like I said, playing in the SEC. It's going to be more competition, but the beauty of it is we get to see all these big, beautiful stadiums on the road.
Yeah, so opening up SEC play on September 21st, Oklahoma will welcome Tennessee to Norman. And then, of course, you make the trip. Your first SEC road game of the year is in Jordan-Hare at Auburn. Getting to that in just a second. After that, looks like you have a bye week, and then Texas and the Red River rivalry. You'll have South Carolina coming to Norman. Take a trip to Oxford to take on Ole Miss on October 26th. You'll have Maine, which is a non-conference game, on the road at Missouri, home for Bama, and on the road at LSU. That is brutal, my man. That is so brutal, Jay, to have that schedule. And I'm with you. It's one of the toughest, not just in the SEC, but in college football. That game in week five, September 28th, Oklahoma comes to Jordan-Hare taking on Auburn. Do you predict that Oklahoma and Auburn will both be 4-0 going into that game on September 28th?
Based upon the schedule set up, we both better be 4-0 or we're both going to be having some problems, right? It's the perfect storm for both of us going in there. Like, the Tennessee game is going to be tough for us. Luckily, we play very well at home. Mm-hmm. We played very well at home with Venables, especially last season. We were undefeated at home. And that's the one place that I know that we'll be able to turn things up and really get focused.
Yeah.
Traveling now, and I've told fans this, we're going to an 87,000 seat stadium in Jordan-Hare, right?
Have you been before?
I have never been, and I will plan on being there.
All right.
That is on my agenda. I will be in town for that game. And for us, the focus is going to have to be is making sure that we don't take it lightly, right? Mm-hmm. The good thing for us is going from Jordan-Hare is a bye week. So we won't have that look over, like we're just going to overlook Auburn.
Right. You have a bye week after the Auburn game.
After the Auburn game.
Gotcha.
We have a bye week. And so that's in preparation for Texas,
sure.
Right? The rival that we hate, you know,
of course.
Team that we just have bad blood with. But no, I think that both teams should come in undefeated. I sense that once we get there, it's going to be a slugfest. I think both teams are going to be physical. Hugh Freeze is rebuilding that program, and he's doing a very good job of getting the right players to do what he needs, getting those solid skills position guys, bringing them in to work with the quarterback. That's where we'll have to make sure that our defense does the work. We got to make sure our defense is ready for those wide receivers, for those running backs, and make sure that we, you know, put Peyton Thorne in shambles, hopefully.
Auburn fans, and we've been talking about it here on ESPN, how that game for Auburn in particular is so important, because if Auburn starts 5-0, they go to Athens the next week, they go the entire month of October without playing a home game, on the road in Kentucky and Missouri, they come back for Vanderbilt and Texas A&M before they go on the road for the Iron Bowl. And so that's a game that Auburn fans have circled, because if the Tigers win, again, they're 5-0, and you have everything in front of you. But if the Tigers slip up against Arkansas or even Oklahoma both, then the season really is in shambles. How does Oklahoma feel about the Auburn game and where it sits in the schedule compared to the back half that's just so difficult for you guys?
For Oklahoma fans, a lot of them feel like, oh, that game should be a win for us, right? And it's not that it's going to be an easy win. It's going to be a tough one, but we should be able to gut that one out. Me personally, that's one of the games I have circled as a potential stumbling block, only because it's leading, even though it's a break there, still leading into Texas, right? We're going to be definitely dedicated and focused forward, but I felt like the Auburn game, because it's the first road game, it's the first time in the massive stadium in conference. Like, we've been to big stadiums. We played at Ohio State, and we won when Ohio State was playing in the playoffs that year.
That's when Baker planted the flag, baby.
Baker planted yes, that flag, and everybody loved it. Everyone loved it, right? Yes. We played at Neyland, right? We traveled up to Nebraska and played in the Red Storm, even though they haven't been good in like 15 years. But we played at some big places, but doing it in conference and then now seeing it week in and week out, it's a difference. There's a difference there, right? You're going to start seeing fans infiltrate your stadiums, right? Shane Beamer mentioned that yesterday, which was very true. I've seen SEC fans travel. So for us, we losing that one game, I don't think that hurts our season. That would be one of the two games I could predict us being a loss. If we go 10-2 in a season, I would expect the Auburn one being one of those losses.
Well, Auburn fans definitely want that to be the case, Jay. There ain't no doubt about it.
Definitely.
Before we get you out of here, again, talking with Jay Smith, co-host of Locked On Sooners here on ESPN 106.7. What are you and fans most excited for being in the SEC? What is it that just gets you excited about this upcoming season, being in the Southeastern Conference, and with Oklahoma having a lot of expectations under Brent Venables once again?
The passion. That is the one thing a lot of fans point out. It just means more. And that slogan ain't just a slogan.
That's
right. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we've seen that. And so for us, it's going to be that lifestyle of it meaning more, the focus on recruiting, going after the big-time players, and then traveling to these beautiful stadiums, right? And I've talked to a few fans around the way, and that's the one thing a lot of them are excited about. They want to get down there to Jordan-Hare. They want to go down to Death Valley and check that out, right? They've been to New Orleans and seen the Superdome, but they've never been to Death Valley, which is a completely different experience.
Place is crazy down there,
right?
There, man.
Good
luck.
They want to get to Tuscaloosa. They want to go out there to the Swamp. And so being able to go out to these stadiums, going out to Sanford Field out in Athens, seeing those stadiums in person and in the flesh is the one thing. And to let you all know, Sooner fans travel. They travel very well.
Okay.
They travel very well.
Is that a warning then? That's a warning for Auburn
just
fans?
Just let you know, everyone reminds us about us being infiltrated. We want to remind you all, we will infiltrate you. Sooner fans do travel.
Hey, you're going to fit in just fine in the SEC, my man. Tell people where they can find you, where they can find your podcast, especially as we get closer to game week for Auburn and Oklahoma. People need to be tuning in to Locked On Sooners. Where can they find it?
Definitely find us on YouTube, Locked On Sooners, as well as wherever podcasts are downloaded and listened to. We drop something daily, you know. Your team every day, so check us out.
Yeah, YouTube and the audio version as well. Check out Locked On Sooners with my guy Jay Smith. We'll wrap it up. Come on back and have more for you here on ESPN 106.7 live from SEC Media Days.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here in Dallas, Texas at SEC Media Days, day two of the week-long event here in Dallas. We're live on Radio Row. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. Hope you enjoyed our sit-down conversation with Jay Smith, co-host of Locked On Sooners. That guy is sharp, and he is a really, really good dude and excited to continue our friendship from this week and beyond. We'll have him on the Oklahoma week for Auburn coming up in the season. But we talk to this guy every single Tuesday, normally over the phone, but we get to have him in person this week. Daryl Dappert's Double D fan favorite joining us on the show. How are you, brother? It's great to have you.
Oh, it's great to be here. So glad I got to see you in person and we get to do this face-to-face. It's been fun. I love the interaction, getting to see old friends and everything. So it's been pretty cool.
Well, it's been a busy 2 days so far. Very productive for you and Zach Blackerby over at Locked On Auburn. Very productive for us here at ESPN 106.7. What stood out to you so far out of the coaches, players, anybody that's taken the podiums around here?
I've had two opportunities to address something that I've sat on for some months. I'm going to just go ahead and lead with that.
Yeah.
I have waited about 7 or 8 months to get the opportunity to ask Lane Kiffin about his obsession with Auburn and tweeting about them all the time. And what's the deal? Is there bad blood? Even when Auburn loses a basketball game, he's tweeting about it. Even more than Mississippi State, okay, who's supposed to be his rival. So I've done some of that through social media, and I just kind of wanted to see how he would answer the question.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he was very, very honest, very forthright, did not dodge it.
See, I didn't hear his response here,
this
so
is
I'm
what
curious.
I asked him the question, why do you do it? It seems to me that you do it a lot more than Mississippi State. Is there bad blood? Is there an underlying issue between you and Coach Freeze and you and the Auburn program that's leading you to do this? And he paused and he talked about the fact that he prefaced it by saying, I'm not saying I'm right with how I'm doing this, but I'm going to tell you that I'm honest. He said, I'm not one on social media that ever uses coach speak. He said, I tweet like a fan. And he said some people that are in the coaching industry worry about what donors and their AD and what their future ADs may think about. And I won't be that guy. He said it's kind of a lot of fun. It's just but I understand how it could be taken that way. And then he proceeded to say, with that being said, since you mentioned Auburn, Hugh Freeze reached out to me about the death of my father. And I took that, Jacob, as maybe him stepping back a little bit and thinking, reevaluating that whole thing. Because it was petty and it was personal what
he
did.
It was.
But to his credit, he didn't dodge it. Unlike episode two today. And you can set that up. You were in there.
I was there, and it's something we have talked about ad nauseum leading up to SEC Media Days and really here at SEC Media Days leading up to 9 a.m. this morning when Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia football team, took the main podium just across the hall here where, don't worry, Double D, they didn't ask him about it in there. Nobody had the guts to bring it up in the main room that's on national television. Nobody had the courage or the you-know-what to bring that up, but somebody in the electronic media room decided they wanted to ask that question.
I would have done it in the main room, but Zach and I were recording an episode of Locked On Auburn, so I waited to get into the electronic media room. Thankfully, I got the second question behind our own Dan Peck here.
Yes.
And I just asked. I said, look, I kind of am interested, Coach Smart, on what's the process of scheduling homecoming opponents? Mm-hmm. Is this something that you get involved with? Or let's peel back the curtain a little bit. And he was very belligerent, got angry.
He was not happy
with
it. Got
dismissive. He was as dismissive of my question as I feel like his football program is dismissive of Auburn's football program with scheduling Auburn for homecoming.
Boom.
He looked me in the face, and I'm just going to say it. I don't care. And completely looked me in the face and lied to me and said, I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about it, and I have nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Now, you're telling me that somebody that learned under the rule of Saban and has his hands on everything in his football program, he wouldn't rubber stamp. And then he tried to do the bait and switch and said, the SEC gives us our schedule and we just play it. I never asked him about the schedule. It's not about who you play. It's about when you play them. And I even know all the dates are set. I'm talking about you as a football program have the choice as to when you choose homecoming.
Yep.
The SEC does not dictate that. Don't insult my intelligence. Okay? That really made me mad because that's like I'm an idiot, like I know better. And he wouldn't look me in the eye. He kept turning away. He was deflective. And again, he knows what he's doing. Auburn and Georgia are recruiting some of the same players. If you bring some of those guys on an on-campus visit during the Auburn game and go, oh, by the way, this is our homecoming opponent, he knows what he's doing.
He is, and
it was disingenuous.
Yeah.
And again, the way he answered that question to me and the level of lack of respect that he showed is exactly the lack of respect the Bulldog put. Now, if you're Auburn, put up or shut up. You're 1-7 against Georgia. You want to get respect back and stop getting disrespected and being their homecoming opponent?
Yeah.
Then beat them.
Right. Well, it's that topic and, of course, the driving incident, which I've talked about as well. There was a guy that asked about that as well in the electronic media room. But I'm glad you brought up the homecoming thing to him. And you're right. I was sitting in the back, and I listened to it, and he did. He got mad. He got verbally, visibly mad and frustrated that you asked that question. And, look, Georgia has earned every right to do whatever the heck they want to do with their schedule, right? They have. They are – they've won two national titles. Kirby is top dog, literally. They deserve to do that, but for him to not answer the question, and don't worry, he dodged the driving question too. He said they've got plans in place and protocols, and he's, you know, he hates that it's happening, but he's proud of what they have built. Like, whatever, dude, it is what it is.
Own it is all I'm saying. You're supposed to be an elite program. Don't duck the question. Don't not look me in the eye and look away.
He's good at that.
The other thing is, he could have said, okay, look, we're on the road for a lot. This is our first time back home. We wanted to give our fans, even though Mississippi State's coming in the week after to play Georgia. The Auburn-Georgia game, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, is going to draw massive numbers regardless if you make that your homecoming opponent or not. You want your homecoming opponent to be somebody – you want people on campus for homecoming.
Yes.
And you know they're going to come anyway, so the game doesn't – that's why you always see cupcakes get scheduled for homecoming. Well, again, you don't pick the oldest rivalry in the Deep South to be your homecoming opponent. It's disrespectful. I felt like he probably didn't expect someone to ask the question, is why he got agitated. But at the end of the day, if you're Auburn, there's one way to get that respect back, and that's just do it on the field.
Yeah, go in would it be enough, Darryl, for another year to not win it but compete and be right there, especially since it's on the road this season, given what we saw a year ago with how Auburn coulda, shoulda, woulda won that game where, I mean, if Brock Bowers doesn't emerge, Auburn does win that game. Would it be enough this year on the road in Athens for Auburn to win or lose by a touchdown to gain some respect back from Kirby Smart in Georgia, because they don't respect Auburn right now?
No. I think Kirby Smart mentioning today that Auburn was the toughest place that you have to play in, he respects Auburn and Jordan-Hare. I don't think he respects Auburn at Sanford Stadium.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is scare the crap out of them this year. You could lose the game, but you better be in it late, and you better make Georgia feel like they got away and escaped with one.
Yeah.
Scare them.
Like they did a year ago.
Like they did a year ago, but at home. Put a scare in them so that they go, ooh, that was stupid. We ain't doing that again.
Right.
Right? I mean, so I think that's what you need to do, and I think Auburn's capable of that this year. I don't expect Auburn to go to Athens and get blown out. I don't.
Okay. I like it. Well, Ben Taylor back in the studio says he's making a prediction. Auburn's going to beat Georgia at home for homecoming. And look, we've had a lot of conversations. We're going to continue it with you that Auburn has a chance to be 5-0 going to that game in Athens. That includes a win over Oklahoma, the newcomer here today. Texas going tomorrow. We'll talk about all that and more with Double D joining us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll continue that conversation after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
About 30 minutes left here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And a guy that does that is Darryl Dapperidge. You can find him a couple of days a week on Locked on Auburn. And, of course, you can find him right here with us on Tuesdays at this time each and every week. Normally over the phone, but we've got him here with us live on Radio Row in Dallas, Texas. A reminder that all of our SEC Media Days coverage this week is brought to you by our fantastic sponsors who made all of this possible back in Auburn and Opelika. The Orthopedic Clinic, Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, State Farm Agent, Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddick, Wisdom Law Firm, and University Ace Hardware. Thank you to those sponsors for sending us to Dallas and being able to bring you all of our fantastic coverage and allowing us to talk to Darryl Dapperidge in person. That's the reason we came.
Wow.
Did we drive 12 hours to do it? Yes, we did. But it's always worth it when we get to hang out with Double D.
Man, I love it. It's been fun. I had the opportunity just to see some old friends and check out a little home run derby last night.
Yeah, so you enjoyed that, huh?
Yeah, I did.
God, were you there? Were you there when the national anthem happened?
Yes.
Did you see the news today?
Yes, rehab.
Okay, so for those of you, you didn't see it, I don't know how, but the national anthem last night at the home run derby was one of the worst in the history.
Mount Rushmore of worst. Okay, here we go. Lewis.
Yep.
Fergie.
Yes, Fergie at the All-Star game.
Roseanne Barr for us older guys where she spit. And then this one right here made Roseanne Barr sound like Adele.
Yeah.
It was awful.
And here's the thing. That girl claimed today, she released a statement saying that she was drunk when she did it, and she has admitted herself to rehab. If that is all true, I really hate to hear that. I hate that that's the circumstances. I hope she gets her things figured out. But God, it was bad.
I was halfway through it looking around going, is it just me or is this one of the worst? And everybody is responding the same way, looking around going,
oh.
And I sat down and I looked at Doug Amos, who was sitting next to me, and I said, that was awful.
Yeah.
And he said it was terrible. And then, of course, it hit social media.
And caught fire.
It was an exciting night, but that – let's just say, with that rendition of our national anthem, our country the last couple of days has taken a rough couple of hits.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Well, other than the home run derby, the All-Star game is going on just up the road tonight, but we'll be at a media event, media party going on later today. But the rest of the week here, Darryl, at SEC Media Days, tomorrow is the famous Alabama Day, but it just doesn't carry as much weight as it used to. We've seen Nick Saban walking around here this week, very relaxed, smiling, talking, shaking hands, kissing babies, doing the whole thing. Like, he's very, he looks like he's de-aged about 10 years. So tomorrow with Kalen DeBoer, I'm very interested to see what he has to say. Texas is tomorrow. Of course, Auburn and A&M are on Thursday. I mean, there's still a lot to happen here at SEC Media Days.
There really is. I've got a funny Nick Saban anecdote for your listeners. So Zach and I yesterday are coming down the elevator to media, to Radio Row, which is on floor 3. And as we get on the elevator at our floor, the elevator opens and there stands Nick Saban.
Okay.
And he smiles and Zach says, "Hey, coach." And he says, "How you guys doing?" He steps out of the elevator and he goes, "Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be going down and this, I'm supposed to be going up and this is supposed to be going down." And he goes, "This is going down, I'm supposed to be going up." And he got real flustered, got back in the elevator. Well, it turns out later, he announces on ESPN he had forgotten his credential. And they stopped him and would not let him in because he didn't have his credential.
He got stopped.
In the middle of all that, we saw that's where he was flustered. He had to go back up to his room to get his credentials.
That's so funny.
He was on the elevator when Zach and I were getting on the elevator, and it stopped and the doors opened. So, yeah, it was a nice little way to start it. But there will be a different buzz or aura about Alabama Day tomorrow. You know that Nick Saban commanded the room. Everybody, wherever he walked around, it was like the Pied Piper. He was followed around like crazy. It'll be interesting, and it'll be very interesting to see how DeBoer commands the room tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to get a ton of questions about the legacy of Nick Saban and how much Nick Saban's still around and what is he sowing into him and all that kind of stuff. So that,
how much of a grip does he have on the program? His fingerprints are all over.
Other than the Auburn day, tomorrow should be the best. I mean, Texas, who thinks they are
it,
the God's gift to football, and Alabama, both in the same day, should be really interesting.
Yeah, and looking forward and looking towards Auburn Day on Thursday, Hugh Freeze will be here. The three players he's bringing with him, linebacker Eugene Asante, we're going to have him here on ESPN 106.7. Also bringing Keldrick Faulk, the defensive end, and then Peyton Thorne, the quarterback. I know we've had these conversations, but anything in particular you're looking from those three guys and, of course, Hugh Freeze when they take the podiums around this place on Thursday?
I want to see Freeze own the whole quarterback situation. I think bringing Peyton Thorne is a big statement to anybody that's going to criticize him for not going and get a quarterback in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
I think bringing him here shows everybody how much he believes in him. I want Peyton Thorne to be very, very honest and transparent about what he needed to do to improve. I heard Crane & Company, who's next to us, talking to Jim Nagy, who's the Senior Bowl official. He was raving about Eugene Asante to Jake.
Eugene's awesome.
Saying that he was probably one of the fastest linebackers the Senior Bowl will have next year.
Wow.
So there's some buzz there. And then, of course, Keldrick Faulk, who's a sophomore. I mean, you bring a sophomore to SEC Media Days like we talked about last week. I can't wait to hear Keldrick Faulk's leadership intangibles, because he has to have them to be brought here, and how he, you know, handles himself and commands the room.
Today was Oklahoma Day. Brent Venables was speaking around, and you know, I was talking earlier how, man, you didn't get many questions in because he was very long-winded, and I don't say that in a bad way. He maybe rambled a little bit, and he started talking about defense, and he just went off the rails because he was talking about defense, which that's what he does. But Auburn and Oklahoma are in week 5, and I was talking about that with Jay Smith of Locked On Sooners a little bit ago in this second hour. That's a big game for Auburn and for Oklahoma because their schedule gets harder as it goes. Auburn's does too, but that's a game that I think both teams have circled, and whoever wins, they're going upwards this season, and the team that loses is probably going backwards.
For Oklahoma, it's a sandwich game. It's between Tennessee and the Red River rivalry, okay? And someone brought that up in the main media room to Brent Venables, and he said, I'm not even going to be thinking about the Red River rivalry. I've got to go on the road and play a tough opponent where there's all kind of pageantry and a passionate fan base.
You better believe it.
I think Auburn, if they win that game and start out 5-0, the trajectory, like you said, of their season completely changes. I think 9 wins becomes very obtainable. I think national rankings become obtainable. I think a New Year's Six Bowl. Because think about this now. In a 12-team playoff, if you get 3 teams in the playoff, those bowl games just slot down.
Yeah.
You're going to get a better bowl game if you finish 4th or 5th in the conference. So Auburn has a chance in my opinion, if they win that game, to have a really – to start off 5-0, to have at least – in my opinion, you start off 5-0, your floor is 8 wins, your ceiling could be 10.
But so many people around here, Darrell, are saying that Auburn should be happy with 7 wins
that's
this
stupid.
Year.
That's stupid.
I agree.
They won 6 last year and should have won 8. Let's just be honest, okay?
Yeah.
I get so tired of revisionist history. Auburn lost a game to New Mexico State because they did not game plan, because Hugh Freeze let Phillip Montgomery call the offensive game plan. It was, to Hugh Freeze's credit, he's recruiting like crazy. If Hugh Freeze would have called that game, especially the way he play called against Alabama, Auburn wins that game, and I don't care. I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. You don't rush one on 4th and 31. You should have stopped that. Auburn had a really good shot at winning 8 games last year with a tougher schedule and an inferior roster compared to this year. So just on those two alone, I know you go on the road to Alabama and Georgia, but you lost the Alabama-Georgia game at home anyway.
Yeah.
So a better roster, easier schedule, year two, better receivers, better weapons. There's no way that you shouldn't show at least a +2 improvement in my mind.
Is there a team around the SEC this season, Darrell? And they could be one of the favorites, like a Georgia, Texas. It could be a middle-of-the-pack team, like a Missouri, or even a, I guess maybe even a Tennessee or LSU, or one of the teams that not a lot of people are talking about, Auburn or Kentucky or something like that. Is there a team that you have a prediction for? Since it is SEC Media Days, it's that time of year. It's about time to start making some bold predictions. What do you got for us in terms of the 2024 season?
That Missouri is so freaking overrated that they're I don't know why people just automatically think they're like going to be up there in the upper echelon with Georgia and Texas and Alabama. I think that Eli Drinkwitz has got to prove that last year wasn't a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
When going into last year, he was 3-5, 3-5, 4-4 in the conference, and then finally in year 4 he put it a little bit together. They do have a really easy schedule, but I think Missouri is going to underachieve, and I think something about Texas A&M scares me a little bit.
Yeah,
with Elko, I think,
especially where that falls on the schedule for Auburn too.
Think about the recruiting class they had 2 years ago when Saban threw that dart at Nick Saban. All right, at some point that recruiting class has to come to fruition.
Yeah,
maybe it's Elko that's the guy that pushes all the right buttons, and all that talent they have puts it together this year. So I think A&M will do probably a little bit better than people expect, and I think Missouri will do worse.
A&M's a team that nobody around here is talking about. I know they don't go till Thursday, but nobody's talking about Texas
Auburn
A&M.
And A&M, in that week before the Iron Bowl, that game is going to decide who gets to 9 wins and maybe a top 5 in the conference, and who gets to 8 and is maybe top half of the conference.
I like it. I think it's a big game. Thankfully for Auburn, it's inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, and it's a part of a nicer November coming out of a brutal October where the Tigers do not play a home game in the month of October, Double D.
That blows my mind.
It's stupid to me.
That Columbus Day and Halloween will pass, and we will not see Auburn football.
Yeah, I hate it. It is what it is. 5 straight home games to start, no home games in October. A manageable schedule in November. Darrell Dapridge with us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He's with us this time every single week. We appreciate you as always, my man. It's always so much fun to catch up with you. Tell the people what they can expect to be hearing on and seeing on Locked On Auburn this week.
We're out here covering SEC Media Day. Zach and I are doing 2 shows a day. We're doing a normal morning show and then a happy hour show. A ton of guests, and we do a lot of that. And then obviously, I'm doing some written work for Auburn Daily. Dropped
yeah,
one
you are.
Yesterday. I'll probably drop a couple more while I'm out here recapping some stuff at SEC Media Days.
Well, you'll be back with us on Tuesday over the phones. And, man, we are 46 days away from the start of Auburn football.
I love it, man. I cannot wait. I'm excited. And it's in August, so let's roll.
August 31st,
yes,
baby. That
counts.
Is. Yeah, hey, when the calendar switches over to August, it's going to be on. Darrell, as always, my man, you're such a great friend, such a great guest, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you, Jacob.
We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on day 2 at SEC Media Days on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you all being with us as we are wrapping up our day two coverage here at SEC Football Media Days. Man, been so much fun today. It's been an awesome day. We recap day two, right, talking about Kirby Smart, Brent Venables, Josh Heupel, Eli Drinkwitz. We had Roman Harper from the SEC Network join us in hour number one. Also, a friend of mine, Raymond Parch from ESPN Southwest Louisiana, talked about LSU and how Auburn and LSU, the game doesn't exist anymore. They'll play in the future here and there, but that yearly rivalry is no longer on the schedule. We also spoke with a co-host of Locked On Sooners, the daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, Jay Smith, good friend of mine that I got in touch with this week. And then Double D, Daryl Dapperich, just hopped off the headset as well. So if you missed any of that part of the show, any of the show today, you can go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Ben Taylor, I have that uploaded for you just a little bit. Appreciate him being back in the ESPN 106.7 studio, making sure my show runs as needed. Reminder that hour two each and every day here during On the Line is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, and the Orthopedic Clinic has also been bringing you our coverage all week long, along with Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, State Farm Insurance Agent Callie Bryan Chaddick, Wisdom Law Firm, and University Ace Hardwell. Well, coming up in just a few minutes, we had the Max Roundtable with Doug Amos from 11 to 2. You had me, Jacob Goins, from 2 to 4, and we're going to hand it off to the drive from Dan Peck and Bill Cameron back in Auburn to get things closed out on day two. Dan, what have you heard so far today over in the electronic media room?
Today's been fun. I mean, you have three Auburn opponents for the 2024 season, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Missouri. Was able to ask all three of the head coaches about the Auburn game and the significance of it. Kirby, you know, is willing. I got to ask Kirby about his relationship with Nick Saban and how things are different with Nick Saban having moved on. You were there with me for Heupel, right?
Yep.
I thought, you know, even though Auburn isn't on Tennessee's schedule, there's some interesting stuff with Josh Heupel because he inherited a situation not dissimilar to the one Hugh Freeze stepped into with the roster in disarray and in trying to stabilize it. I thought Josh Heupel, I was able to ask him about the transfer portal versus recruiting high schoolers, and he provided some insight on that. Eli Drinkwitz still clearly remembers the loss at Auburn in 2022, and that's a game. I think that the Missouri players, maybe because Auburn fans have collectively decided to black out like all of the 2022 season,
yes.
Folks don't realize that Missouri is looking forward to a visit from Auburn, or at least they've noticed that Auburn is back on the schedule,
right?
Because many of those players and those coaches remember the 2022 loss at Auburn. Eli Drinkwitz called it a debacle during his answer and says
he
thinks back on that game a lot as a game that that he learned, you know, he learned what not to do, you know, and stuff that's mistakes he made that day.
Sure.
He still refers back on now as a head coach. Brent Venables was able to ask Coach Venables about the Auburn game, which will be Oklahoma's first ever game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It'll be their first ever road SEC game. Brent Venables knows Auburn well. He was there on the sideline when Clemson played Auburn a couple of times as defensive coordinator. He was competing with Auburn all the way back in 2004 mm-hmm. for inclusion in the national championship game when he was at Oklahoma. So this is a guy who, even though his meetings with Auburn at Oklahoma are few and far between, but this is a guy who understands what he's getting into when he goes to Jordan-Hare Stadium. He talked about expecting an A-plus atmosphere and knowing that Hugh Freeze is a coach who's going to have his team in a position to win.
You and Bill are coming up 4 to 6. Tell them real quick what's coming up.
Should have Andy Burcham in the house back in the studio, voice of the Auburn Tigers. I know my man Jake Crane from Crane & Company. You popping by sometime today? You gonna make an appearance? Jake is saying all the right stuff. Barrett Salee is running around somewhere. Yeah, if you get him out of the karaoke bar, tell Barrett to do his segment. So anyways, we'll have that and some audio and a whole lot more. You're not going to want to miss it.
Awesome. Stick around. That'll be hour 6 and 7 of our coverage here on ESPN 106.7. I will be back tomorrow. It's Alabama Day, Texas Day, and a whole lot more for day 3 at SEC Media Days. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.